today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
So when you make it big, will you do that for other up-and-coming bands?
100%.
Hey everybody, this is Jim here on Rockin' the Suburbs. All this week we are playing episodes from our live event at Jam and Java in Vienna, Virginia, recorded last month. Yesterday you heard a performance by and interview with Billy Coulter. Today we have on tap Shallow Planet. You can hear Shallow Planet's music on the major streaming services. They just had a new album come out like last week. You can also follow them on the social medias. Just look for Shallow Planet, all right? Now, later in the week, you're going to hear from Justin Trawick. He's tomorrow's featured artist. And then Friday, The Paranoid Style. But let me tell you a little bit about Shallow Planet here. Shallow Planet is a young band from Leesburg, Virginia, that plays 90s-influenced alternative rock. They recently won a Battle of the Bands competition right there at Jam and Java. All right, so please welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs, Shallow Planet.
This might be a little bit loud, sorry
Nobody knows.
so much. Thank you. Thank you for a Shallow Planet. I'm happy to be out here with you all tonight. That first song was called Subconscious Queen, and this next one is called In the Know.
Do you take me as a fool? I need so much more from you. My future's hinging on your willingness to open up your mind and give me a chance here. I don't think I can do this all on my own anymore. Someone please at least point me to a door.
Mentioned it before, we got Sebastian Bosek on the drums. We've got Giles Morris on the bass.
Is your mic?
Oh, okay. And I'm Zach Jones. Thank you all so much. Once again, we're Shallow Planet. I guess we'll take just a little bit of time to tell you about those first two songs. The first one, Subconscious Queen, is going to be on an album that we actually have coming out at the end of this month, August 31st. You can keep up with that. Find us anywhere at Shallow Planet. We're on Instagram, YouTube. We have a Twitter and Facebook. We don't use them that much, but they're there if you want to follow us there. All the streaming services, we'll be posting updates on the album release and everything leading up to it. And the last one was called In the Know. That one was, I don't know, that one, I guess, like, inception-wise, it was brought about by, like, I'm a full-time musician, and I do this, but what I do full-time is, like, you know, solo acoustic stuff at like wineries, breweries, that kind of thing. And breaking into like the sphere and like trying to be able to actually do music full time was very difficult for a long time. And it was all about knowing the right people and making the right connections, which can be a big drag, especially when like nobody wants to give you opportunities. And, that one just kind of was brought about by the frustration and the, feeling that like no one was really helping me out on the journey, even though I was like desperately in need of it, but it all worked out in the end. So, very thankful for that. So, this next one is the first single we put out in the lead up to the album that's coming out. This song is called Fire in the Sky.
Woo! Shallow Planet, everybody.
How about that?
Rock and roll.
Come on over, guys.
Come on over, guys.
Was it hard to stop after three songs?
Yeah, it was a little strange. I don't know. We're definitely used to a little longer than that, but I mean, it's all good though. We love the format.
Yeah. All right. Cool. So, you guys are a young band. Introduce yourselves first.
You want to start?
Sure thing. I'm Sebastian. I'm 29 years old. I'm a drummer. I've been playing music since I was six. So.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm Dials Morst. I'm 24. I play bass. I've been playing music since I was like 10 or 11.
And I'm Zach Jones. I'm also 24, and I've been playing music, I think, probably around the same time. You have like 13, 12, something like that.
Sweet. Right.
So I think you guys could hear this a little bit, that they have sort of a 90s alternative influence going on in this band, right? So did you just raid your parents' record collections?
Yes.
Yeah, Dallas is a huge like physical media like junkie. So he has like his record collection is literally like walls and walls of just CDs.
I'm like a crate of records, but like
yeah,
CDs are my main thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that just kind of happened naturally. I mean, I definitely was really into like '90s like alternative rock, especially in high school. I guess that probably just has carried over the years, you know, and. You know, and Sebastian and Dials, they're both pretty big, like metal fans too. And
I hear that. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And like, I also like definitely listen to some like softer stuff now too. So I think it's just like the perfect mesh of like the harder and the softer stuff kind of gets that little in between. So
yeah.
People ask us like what kind of band we are. And I'm like, I always say we're under like the really wide umbrella of alternative rock. So like, obviously, like he was saying, I listen to a ton of metal and. Like we share like a bunch of things in common, but he definitely has like more lighter influences that he brings. And I listen to a bunch of that stuff too, but I'm definitely more influenced by like a lot of metal.
I always love his reaction too when I write like a hard riff or something, and I show it to him. Like, what do you think about this? And he's like, yeah.
When people ask you what kind of band you are, just say we're Shallow Planet, right?
Yeah.
More forced laughter, please.
Interesting listening just now. It sounded fantastic. One of the things that really struck me is the space that you leave in the songs, right? Talk about why you do that and why that's important, other than to hear your drummer's excellent chops.
Yeah.
I pull that first one out of my ass, I'll be honest.
Yeah, I really think it's just... it's just about like really making the songs dynamic. That's something that's really important to me whenever I'm like writing a new song for the band. It's just make sure that it's not just, you know, it starts with everybody in, everybody's in the entire time, then just ends with everybody in. You know, it's like I definitely like love and respect and like listening to like very straightforward rock music, but it's not, I don't know, it's not the most interesting thing to write. You know, you want to try to make it as like unique as possible when you're writing it. It's just also just more fun to play that way too. Mm-hmm. Like, and you listen back to it, you feel more fulfilled because you really know that you tried to do something different with it, you know? So I think it's just about making it a little different, a little unique.
Well, it works.
Thank
There's
you.
No
I appreciate that. Thank
yeah,
you.
Absolutely.
It's very nice. We really appreciate that.
So you guys had an EP out. You mentioned the new album's coming out, right? So that's cool.
Yes.
And what is that album going to be called?
That one's going to be called Real Forever After.
All right. Wow. Very nice. So the EP was called Visions of the Future, and I read that to you in writing those songs, it was taking on sort of a doom and gloom sort of motif about the future.
Mm-hmm.
But then once you recorded it, it was cathartic in some way, that you sort of changed your worldview.
Absolutely. Yeah. That was – you hit the nail on the head 100%. Like it was, you know, at the time of like those songs being written, yeah, like I definitely had a much more, I don't know, just like not hopeful outlook on like how a lot of things would turn out in the world and everything. And I, you know, underwent a very big like mindset and like worldview shift around that time. And I think it really just opened up my mind to, you know, a more positive and hopeful way to look at things and to expect things to turn out, you know. And it's like, and also just like standing up and instead of just like sitting around and kind of worrying about how things turn out, like trying to stand up and be that change that I want to see instead of just hoping it comes. So,
yeah, very good. Very good. Yeah. Well, this is our future here, people. This is our future.
Yes.
So, absolutely.
So I'm wondering, too, you guys talked about, you know, being into alternative rock, stuff like that, metal. We talked a little bit about music before you guys were doing sound check and things like that. How far do you go back? How far do you go back into music history for stuff? Or is that an ongoing exploration? Are you still going back farther to find things?
I mean, that's definitely kind of an ever-expanding thing. Like, I know I grew up, like my dad would introduce me to like a lot of classic rock and, you know, Beatles and whatnot. So like, and actually it's funny you mentioned like how far back do we go? We're playing at Loco Fest in Percival on September 1st. And we're pulling out, like, we're taking a Robert Johnson song.
Nice.
Like, kind of from like the '30s or something.
Yeah.
That's going back.
Yeah. And like, obviously we're going to put our own, you know, a little bit of a heavier spin on it, but yeah, like we definitely explore stuff from way back in the day. And I was a music major in college and listened to, like, we had to listen to a ton of like classical music. And we were in guitar in high school and we played classical music then and we got a little burnt out on it because, you know, it was high school. That's how it is.
Yeah.
You hate everything like you do in high school. Yeah. And then I appreciated that kind of thing a lot more in college.
Yeah.
And listened to more of it now.
Yeah, cool. I still appreciate it like a lot more now too. I think it's when you're like forced to play that kind of music in school, then you're just kind of like, eh. But then when you discover it on your own, you're like, this is actually like really nice and inspiring.
Yeah, I used to be a jazz studies major a long, long time ago, my freshman year in college. So, you know, I'd play like 20s, 30s, 40s jazz. But for rock, my earliest is probably like 80s music, 90s music, hard rock, metal, alternative music. But I'm always around 10 years behind, like, whatever's current. So 2000s, I was listening a lot of 90s stuff. In the 2010s, I was listening to a lot of, like, 2000s house. And now I find myself listening to a lot of, like, early 2010s, like, dubstep again. And really missing it when I was really young.
You're the fourth drummer in this band, I'm told?
Yeah.
And the band's only been around for a couple of years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone keeps having to move across the country.
Yeah.
We were talking backstage about how it's a Spinal Tap situation.
Yep.
And 100%. And so I wonder, are you nervous?
I mean, before shows, yeah. But like, if like, I like disappear.
Not about exploding.
Dust and explosion behind the set, no.
Okay.
I'm a drummer, so, you know, I'm a little clumsy. You know, I might like step over myself standing still and like break my neck or something. I don't know. I've tripped over myself doing nothing. And I, like, earlier I bashed my head on the hi-hats, you know, reaching down to set up my stuff, and like, you know, yeah, I'm a little clumsy.
Okay.
So
right.
That's what I have to worry
all
about.
All right. One quick thing here and then we'll get to the bag of questions. You also had a brush with greatness, Zach, in a previous band. You opened a show for
Bon Jovi.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. It was like, it was a band that I had in high school. And Bon Jovi was doing this competition, like, cause they were touring like the US, and every city they went to, they had like a competition to where you send in a video of your band performing live. And they like reviewed all the submissions, and like for each city they choose like a winner, and then you get to open for them. And we submitted one when they were coming to Capital One Arena in DC, and I guess we got chosen because we got to open for them in front of like 20,000 people.
Wow.
That was insane. And even though Dials wasn't in that band, he was still along for us with the ride. He was like helping with gear and stuff. He actually went on the stage like by himself before he performed and like set up all the instruments. So he was just like alone on a stage in front of 20,000 people. So
I actually heard about it on the radio and then called their guitar
player.
I was wondering, so they brought me along like as their roadie.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're like, we can't leave this man behind.
A little bit of a bigger. A little bit of a bigger room than this, although this is a fabulous room. So
just a tad bigger than this.
But yeah, what was that like playing in an arena, right?
Oh, that was insane. Like the sound of 20,000 people, just like even before they all like started cheering, like just when you walk to like the back and you just hear like the sound of 20,000 people just like shuffling in their seats or like murmuring to themselves, you're just like, this is absolutely unreal. And it's coming from all sides because, like, wow. There's people behind us, the side, in front of us. Yeah, it was a wild experience.
All right. So when you make it big, will you do that for other up-and-coming bands?
100%. I feel like that's I wish more bands did that.
I love it.
Got to give people their opportunities.
Yeah.
All right. Bag of questions time. Uh-oh. Are we all set? You won't get the religion question.
Okay. Lord Farquaad.
Let's see what we got.
And there's only one answer to that one
like
anyway.
I don't like that one.
Okay.
Let's see what we got here. All right, your question is, what's love got to do with it?
You got anything?
I mean, I guess I'll have to answer that by asking you this. Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken?
Oh. Pretty well done.
Yeah, that was good.
You guys want to play one more song?
Yes, sir.
All right. That'd be fantastic. Shallow Planet.
All right. This last song is another single that we've put out in preparation for our upcoming album. This one's going to be called Strike a Match. And by the way, if you like what you heard tonight and you want to hear more, like I said, you can find us anywhere on social media and streaming services at Shallow Planet. We'd love to get to know you guys better and for you to get to know us better as well. We really thank you all for coming out tonight. Let's give it a big hand for Billy Coulter at the beginning, huh? And I can't wait to hear everybody else tonight. It's such a cool thing. Thank you so much to the guys for putting this on at Rockin' the Suburbs. It's just such a cool opportunity for us and for all the musicians here tonight. It's just, we want to thank you guys again for coming out, for giving us like the time of day, for listening, for paying attention. We really appreciate it, and you guys are the best. All right, and this one is called Strike a Match.
Sebastian, I got to ask you, as a drummer, have you seen the movie Whiplash?
No, I've seen enough to remind myself of my time as a music major. Yeah, being a music major is kind of like that, minus like the emotional abuse. But
let's hope so. Yeah.
But music teachers know how to make you feel really bad about your playing without being like, you know, really loud or aggressive. They don't have to like throw chairs at you. All they have to do is just, you know, throw a look at you. You know, you screwed up.